looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everyone, welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And as we jump right into today's show, I'm really looking forward to this one and sharing it with everybody because this one came across my desk and it caught my attention because the title of the book, we have the author with us and he's definitely way more than an author, but the book title that came across is A Rice Conversation. And I thought that was so clever. I love little play on words like that and all that stuff. And I definitely have a theme going here because we're going to learn all about rice, but more than you can ever imagine. So before I do all that, I do want to thank our sponsor and Daryl Stern, who knows that digital marketing can be very frustrating. Daryl Stern makes it positive and simple. Become the influencer you were always meant to be and get Stern. So join the Stern Marketing Academy at sternmarketingacademy.com. Now, let's really start. Okay, rice. I have to tell everybody that I've already been eating more rice in the past couple of days, and especially even today with my green tea and toasted brown rice, because I just wanted to really embrace the whole feeling. And we get to speak with Ken LeGrand, and they do everything from growing and storing to milling and sprouting. And this family-owned company is committed to nourishing the world with high-quality foods that reflect the values of our distinctive 160-year agricultural heritage. I will tell you more about Ken, but I just have to say welcome, Ken, to the show. I want to get him right on board here.
Thank you so much.
Hello. Ken, I love the title, A Rice Conversation. And how long has that book been out?
We actually just released that book about 90 days ago, so you are an early reader.
Oh my goodness, so you've sprouted it, it's grown, and now you're going to get to harvest it as everybody gets to read it, and it's a really good book.
Well, thank you.
Oh, well, I'm just going to reach everybody from your bio here because I think everybody needs to know because what we talk about, what we're going to come up, and I'm going to ask you lots about, which is surprising that I did not know I'd be asking a lot, but about water. Like there's so much water involved and water issues with rice that I want people to know what you're doing and where you are from and all that good stuff. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, in 1851, the LeGrand family moved to Sacramento Valley where they run their fifth generation family farm. That's a lot of F going on there. Among other things, they grow, dry, mill, and market rice. Their brands include Sun Valley Rice, Planet Rice, Valley Select, and I hope I say this properly, but Genji Mai. Did I say that right, Ken?
Genji Mai.
Okay, there you go. Well, Planet Rice was recently voted Best Whole Grain for Delicious Living Magazine's Best Bite Award. That's cool. Ken is active in California water issues and is the chairman of the board of the Tamaha-Calusa Canal Authority, the water service provider to over 130 acres of irrigated agriculture in the Sacramento Valley. Ken is also the chairman of the Sites Project Authority, a public agency whose mission is to promote the development of off-stream storage reservoirs in Northern California. In addition, Ken is a member of the board for the USA Rice Miller Association and Vigilance, an Oregon-based human resource consulting company. Ken is also an active, so busy, my God. Ken is also an active member of YPO, Young Presidents Organization. Like, how do you find this? The world's premier peer network for chief executives and business leaders. And he's the author of Rice Conversation, and I do want to say that you are there with your family, your wife, Julie, and you, oh my goodness, you run a cow calf operation in California and Oregon and own ranching. How do you do all this? Ranching land in both states. They live in Sacramento with their two sons, Andrew and Maxwell. Gosh.
I know. That's a load, isn't it?
I feel like you need to be 150 to do all that.
The secret is having the best people in the world on your team, Lisa.
Oh, that is so true. And, you know, the best people in it, even I almost can imagine how happy those cows are. Like, it feels like even they are happy and just, you know, knowing that they're cared for as they get to serve and do their thing for you guys as well.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
So why? Now, the book is very pretty, by the way. It's beautiful. It's full of these gorgeous images. And it just very, yeah, it was really nicely done. I enjoyed reading it. But there were some really cool facts. And I think the one thing I've been running around telling everybody is, do you know what Toyota means? Do you know what Toyota means? would you share that about the Toyota? And then I would love for you to share a little bit, like, why rice fields? And what, because you have some great pictures about family and history there.
Sure. Lisa, rice is grown almost everywhere in the world, and it is the number one calorie consumed on the planet every day. And one of the reasons that that's the case is when we think about grains generally, whether they're wheat or barley or oats or rice is the only one that is consumed just as it is. I mean, we don't eat a bowl of wheat, for example.
Right.
And furthermore, rice is relatively resilient as a crop. You know, there are lots of crops that, you know, the slightest movement in weather can cause, you know, a freeze and kill an orange crop, or can change the outcome of grapes or whatever. Rice is very hardy and pretty foolproof. And so that's one of the reasons that it's become so widespread and feeds the world every day. Go ahead.
Is there still room in the world for more rice fields then, or are we capped out here?
No, I'm sure there's room for some more, but we're producing an awful lot of it. And what really we could be doing in a number of countries is improving the production per acre. So I think there is room, you know, for more production as populations, you know, increase. It's an amazing crop because it's one of the only crops that provides full habitat for dozens of species of waterfowl and mammals and reptiles in its production. So when we think about fields and tractors and running around farming, we don't always think about fields of farmed crops as habitat. But rice fields are very definitely integral to the habitat of so many species, again, of bird life, of mammals, of insects. So rice production is a really critical part of sustainable agriculture, sustainable living, and of ecosystems.
I was actually blown away by that when I read that. And I might have my numbers off, but when I was reading it, something like just in California alone, there's 240 species of birds, water birds, this is their home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a birder's paradise to drive around a rice field.
Yeah, like that's just amazing. Like, again, that just so blows me away. And that to think that you're right. When I think of a regular field, let's say, I think about a tractor going through and just tumbling it down and everything. How do you, I'm jumping right over this one, but how do you harvest rice? Is it, you know?
Sure. So rice is harvested in the United States with a combine. Most people have a picture they can imagine of a combine. A big machine that drives through usually a wheat field, and on the front of it, it has kind of a rolling a Ferris wheel sort of thing that we call it the reel, and it's bringing in the grain into the combine. We use the exact same machine. We use a combine for rice. So we drain the water from the field, they dry out, and we drive the combine right into the field. And it's called a combine because it combined two activities which historically were distinct in grain harvesting, which was the cutting of the grain and then the threshing. Threshing is separating the kernels from the stalk. And so this machine combined those two tasks over 100 years ago, and that's why we call it a combine.
Oh, I don't even think I knew that part. And so there are so many kinds of rices, and I was just reading, there's over 40,000 varieties of rice, and how do you pick which one you want to grow? Like, that's so many. That's a ton.
Sure. Well, Mother Nature sort of makes the choice for you. So the latitude upon which you find yourself is really determinant into what types of rice you can produce. So in Northern California, we're on the same latitude as Japan and Korea. And so Japan and Korea and California produce the same types of rice. If we go in America to the Gulf states of Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Louisiana, those latitudes are where long grain is produced. Long grain is what most of the world eats. The vast majority of rice grown on the planet is long grain. And long grain is not sticky, and it has sort of a blander taste.
Okay.
Whereas short and medium grains, which are what we grow in California and Japan and Korea, are shorter, they're stickier, and they have a soft taste. It's a little bit like the difference between a sourdough roll and a slice of white Wonder Bread.
Bread,
but one of them has a nice, subtle taste and texture, and one of them's, a little more mild and bland.
Okay. And also, sushi, of course, that would be the short rice, like what you guys are growing in Japan and California. And with the rice, they all have different their seasons and all that stuff. But there's the rice, actually, it's like almost completely all year long that you have to do harvest and make it and grow it.
Well, in California, our season is in the summer. So we plant rice in late April and early May, and we harvest rice in September and early October. And so the fields are really fallow from throughout the winter, from sort of November to March.
Okay. So that does it. Keeps you busy there. Now, I do have time to sneak this in before commercial. When I read that it takes 5,000 liters of water per 1 kilo of rice, that's mind-boggling for a second. And then is that a good thing? Because I know with California, maybe there's not. That sounds like a lot of water.
it does, and statistics are an interesting thing. It's maybe more helpful to think about rice as a grass, and it takes about the same amount of water as it does to water a lawn.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining watering my lawn right now and how much water, you're right, that it does take, and every other day you water it. So how does you...
And the difference is I don't think there are 280 species of birds living in your lawn.
Right. I hope not. My cats would not let them. Oh, wow. So with the, you started back and said you're on the fifth generation of your family doing this. And have you ever thought of doing anything other than this, or do you just have this extreme, carried on passion?
I'm sorry, you cut out for just a second. Could you repeat that question?
Sorry about that. It's a 5 generations that your family's been doing this. And was there any other thought for you to do anything different, or is this your passion?
Oh, sure. No, when I was growing up, I was never coming home to the farm.
Oh!
The last thing I was going to do. And when I got out of university, I went straight to Newport Beach and thought I had found the great place on earth, which for a young single guy in Newport Beach is bad.
Yeah. And so what made you come back?
I realized that as I got just a little bit older, I think I realized the importance of the heritage and the opportunities of that I had right in front of me, and the opportunity to create and grow something that was real and tangible and that could make a difference in the world and be part of a family business, it just seemed too good to pass up.
Aw, And, you know, I'm glad that you actually said that. We're going to have to go to commercial, but when we come back, I'm so glad that you led us right into there, because we do want to find out the importance that this rice field and rice business makes. So when we come back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back, and we are celebrating International Rice Month with Ken LeGrand, who is the author of A Rice Conversation, amongst a bazillion other wonderful things. Ken, I want to just remind people of some of the most amazing health benefits of rice before we go into the importance of like what the industry of rice can really do. Everybody always asks me, what's the difference between brown and white rice, and is rice bleached? So I'd love to ask you those ones right now.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I can tell you is that rice is not bleached. I have been in many rice mills around the world, and I've never heard or seen anybody or any facility that's bleaching rice.
It's a myth.
All rice, so let's step back for a second. All rice is brown rice.
Uh-huh.
And all rice is white rice. It's just,
wow.
It's sort of like a potato. So when you take a potato, it's brown until you peel it. And underneath, it's white. It was always white underneath. It's just that you peeled it. And that's all rice is. Brown rice has a peel, and that peel is bran. When you have a bran muffin or a bran cereal, that bran is the peel off of a grain, a kernel of grain. You can have oat bran, you can have rice bran, you can have different kinds of bran. So we peel that off, the brown rice, and the white rice is underneath. And the process of peeling bran is called milling. So when we say we mill rice, what we really mean is we are peeling the bran off so that the white rice is exposed.
That is the best explanation I have ever heard. and it makes so much sense. And actually, it's funny because now, you know, it's, as opposed to somebody saying, yeah, peeling, you're not peeling rice, you're milling. It's a nice way of saying that. And so this is where we get into all those differences, is that, not to say that we're taking away, but you kind of are. When you peel something or mill it, you're taking something away. And that's why when they say, well, brown rice has more nutrients, it's because it just has more everything. It's just, there's more to it. It has the peel.
That's right. That's why we call it a whole grain, because it is still whole. It has the peel. It has the bran. So brown rice is a whole grain. And, you know, my mother always told me to eat the peel, eat the skin on my baked potato, because that's where the nutrients were. It's the same principle.
Yeah,
eat the peel of your bran, of your rice, and that's brown rice. The reason that milling got started, Lisa, was rice bran has a lot of oil. It's a very healthy oil, but it has a lot of oil. And, you know, the oil and water don't mix. Brown rice takes a lot longer to cook. The reason it takes a lot longer to cook brown rice is that the water, when we're cooking rice, the water is trying to penetrate into the kernel, and it hits the bran. The bran has oil, and the oil is saying, go away, we're not mixing it. And it just takes so much longer for the water to penetrate the oil on the bran and to cook the rice inside. That historically, for centuries, people didn't have time. And they discovered that if they scratched off this bran, they could cook it a lot faster. Mm. And so they did.
That is so, it's so simple. It's so simple. You know, I never really thought about it before, because I know when I first had brown rice, which was, you know, decades ago, I thought, wow, is it ever tastier and richer and more satisfying? And the actual breakdown is only 2% fat, but it does offer quite a different, completely different satisfying flavor in a weird way, and that's because of the fat, and fat's very satisfying.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I also read to you, and I love that this is – I don't want to give all the secrets away in your book and all the fun facts, because I want everybody to go download it and get it by visiting your site. Actually, we'll give them all the links where they can go. But because oat bran oil is, in fact, really healthy, and it does help with cholesterol, diabetes, like all – it actually is a beneficial oil to have. So do you and your family – eat, because you mill it. So do you eat more brown rice, or do you eat white rice, or both?
We eat both. My children particularly like brown rice. We have a brown rice that is called California Blonde, and it is really a very special, I think, product. It's the brown rice, the whole grain for the whole family, as we call it.
Aww.
So it's really terrific.
Do you guys ship online to other countries, like to Canada?
We're on Amazon, and on Amazon, our product, the brand that's on Amazon is Planet Rice.
The one that won the award. Yes.
That's it. Exactly.
Yes. I'm going to have to order some. My goodness, now I'm excited to try this. And what can make the rice taste so, like, when you say it's a really lovely rice, it's different. Is it just you have just your soil is different? Because there's so many different vitamins and minerals in rice.
There really are. And I think the varieties that we are able to grow in California are what contribute to a very high-end experience in your mouth, on your palate. It's just a really terrific thing. And again, I equate it for people who look at me with a puzzled expression as I say that. I find that people understand bread more easily. And I think, you know, if you're very hungry, a slice of white Wonder Bread is food. But a sourdough roll might be something you'd eat on its own. It has a subtle taste. It's still a background that can not overpower a piece of salmon or a piece of tuna, but by itself, it's still a nice product and healthy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Last show, we were talking about health, another health show. We were doing a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and we were talking about food poisoning. And it's funny because I've had food poisoning, unfortunately, a few times in my life, but what I only ever want to eat when I'm not feeling well is rice. And it's such a weird things I thought, gosh, why am I always, and I think it's because it's just so easily digested, as you were saying there. It provides the calories, it's comforting,
There's a reason we start babies out on rice cereal.
Yeah, why? Oh my gosh.
Because it's easily digestible, it's the most widely consumed food on the planet for a reason. It's just what it is. So again, it's not a processed food. People think about processed food. It's all we've done is peel it.
Right.
We haven't added anything to it. Brown rice hasn't even been peeled. So it's truly, sort of in its natural state. It's like eating a piece of fruit or vegetable.
Right, exactly. Okay.
And it's gluten-free. We have a gluten-free status with rice, which is really terrific in today's world. Rice from California is GMO-free. Whole grain. So we have a number of things that are really, I think, going for it as people discover that the ancient grains are, one of the keys to unlocking a healthy diet.
Okay, that is, I really want to highlight that one. Did you just say all the rice grown in California is non-GMO?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay, I'm really excited now. Okay, so that being said, learning that they also use rice to make beer and to do the fermentation thing, does that mean that the rice is your rice? Like, do you use your rice and sell it to people that they can then make the beer and the spirits from?
Sure. Sake is one of the great and expanding spirits, which is obviously made with rice and is typically gluten-free. Rice beer isn't always gluten-free. You should read the labels, but often it is. And people that are just even mildly trying to have a low-gluten diet will find that Japanese beers are really – in particular, maybe a helpful way to enjoy a beer during a game.
So,
for that reason,
do the people come to you then to purchase the rice from your crops and then they take it away, or do you have to ferment it yourself and then sell it? How does your business with that work?
Yeah, so we provide a lot of rice to sake breweries and some to beer breweries, and they buy it as a dry good, as a raw product, or ingredient. And then each brewer, whether it's for sake or beer, would do their own bring that ingredient of rice into their own process.
And would that make the beer taste different way? Like, so if you have do you only have one kind of like crop right now, let's say, growing on, and then next year you might have a different kind, and then their beer will taste it? Like, are they relying on or depending on your rice for that flavor?
Yes, they would want a consistent product from year to year. So we're a supplier of that. We're a fairly reliable link in their supply chain from that standpoint.
Okay.
And we spend a lot of time in conversations with ingredient users. So, beer or sake are ingredient users. Baby food is an ingredient user. Kellogg's or Nestle's uses rice in things. You see a lot of pet food that says with rice and lamb.
Yes.
The pet food people are a very good customer of rice. It's a healthy product, and there's a reason that people's pets look better when they're on a rice diet. For the same reason that we do.
Yes, you are just reminding me of all the uses. This is funny. And it's because my kitties, I've got two Bengals, and oh my goodness, they're very picky for good reason. And when my boy kitty was a baby, he only people food he'd ever eat was oats, like oatmeal. And then now he eats just a little bit of rice that comes with the rice and tuna, rice and salmon. You're exactly right. Oh, that's so interesting. I never thought about that too. The uses are incredible. Now you've got some recipes. Well, some, you've got a lot of recipes in the rice conversation. Is that something that you came up with yourself, or did you have people kind of tell you and share with you their rice recipes?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I tested each one of those, invented them all myself, but I think it would be fair to tell you that, and as I said earlier in the call, it takes a team of really talented people.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, well, they just look, I want to make all of them. They look so good, but I'm going to have to order from you guys on Amazon because I want the non-GMO ones too. With the, how much rice do people eat on average a year?
You know, that number varies greatly around the world.
That's true.
Absolutely. I think it surprises people how much rice that they eat, or that's done per capita in the U.S. versus Japan. So in Japan, it is often more than 100 pounds a year per person.
Right, yes.
If
wow.
you can believe it. In the United States, it's about 25 pounds per year. That's okay. not to say that each of us consumes 25 pounds.
Right.
That's just when they do per capita consumption, Lisa, we take the total consumption and divide it by the number of people. So that
right.
really includes what's used in beer, what's used in Gerber baby food, what's used in pet food. So, you know, if somebody says, gee, there's just no way that I eat 25 pounds, you eat more pounds than you think, but it may not be that much.
Right, right. I see. It's funny when you mention the difference, you know, in cultures, of course, too, because rice is very ceremonial to the cultures, you know, whether they're in Japan or China. And in fact, I remember I went to Japan, and one of the fun uses of rice that I got to experience was a rice pillow. I got to sleep on a rice pillow, and from then on, I was like, this is the way to go. This is what we all should have for our good sleep.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you, so let's, you know, for a great little bit of trivia, in Japan, when we mill the rice, and I told you already that milling is sort of peeling the rice off,
right.
there's generally a little bit of that bran dust that's left on the kernel.
Okay.
And the tradition was to, in Japan, to wash your rice before you cook it.
Right.
So that washing would wash off the little bits of bran. The water that you would use to wash the rice, women would keep that water. They wouldn't throw it down the drain. They would keep it in a bowl, and then they would wash their face with that water at night because the bran, they found out, was really a terrific thing for their complexion.
Yes.
And there's so much makeup and other cosmetics that are beginning to use rice bran as a
yeah.
base product because it's truly and naturally an amazing substance.
Okay, now see, now I'm a makeup girl, so I'm now my things that I do remember, you know, even my vegan friends, that's something I remember now, that they're always reading the labels, and a lot of vegan makeups will have rice used because you're right, you're not using the fat coming from animals or things like that or harsh chemicals. But now that you say that, and also too, I think they used to grind the rice as well, right, after it's been dried, and then use it as a, I can't remember, like a mask or something, now that I'm thinking and going back.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. It's just shocking. And then there's two other things that I remember I learned. And it's funny, when I was reading part of the books, I went, oh, I totally know that. We put little bits of rice in our salt shakers on, you know, at restaurants. I used to think there were maggots when I was a little girl. I'm like, oh, Mom, there's a bug in there.
No, that's right. You can put rice in salt shakers to keep the moisture out of rice kernels. The great one is if you drop your cell phone, if your cell phone gets wet, one thing to try is as soon as you can, put your cell phone in a Ziploc bag filled with rice and zip it up and leave it overnight. And the rice will draw a lot of the moisture out. It sometimes saves the cell phone.
Right. That's amazing. And again, it's so funny. I remember when salt can do this too, but I remember if you get something on a pour stone, like your flooring, you know, if you've got your floors and you spill, like me, and I knocked over a bottle of, actually my cat did, knocked over a bottle of red wine on an unsealed floor and had to use salt and rice to kind of like draw up the stain and the moisture. So helpful, and knowing, like, it's just, you can, and it's so affordable. So this is not like, this is, you know, rice is, it's pretty cheap, kind of, to it comparatively.
Unfortunately, it's such a miracle thing. I wish for my sake that it was the price of wine, but
Right.
But fortunately for the average consumer, it remains a very affordable and incredibly healthy and natural meal option.
Right. Yes. Yes. Well, I know that I said we were going to talk about all the stuff that, you know, you're involved with so many things, but I want to come back and talk about the associations and the businesses that really, truly that you're a part of and help because of this.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us here. We're talking and having a right conversation, and that's actually the title of the book that Ken Lagrande, and I'm going to spell that, it's L-A-G-R-A-N-D-E, and Ken is the not just the author of this book, but he's actually part of Lagrande Family Foods and the founder of, I guess, Sun Valley Rice Business. Well, what would you call that? I want to say so I get the name right here, Ken.
You've got it. It's perfectly just.
Oh, good, good, good. And everybody right now, this book is available. You want to get onto their site, which is, I'm going to tell you what it is. You can go to sunvalleyrice.com or lagrandefamilyfoods.com, and you get onto their list because you do want to know what's going on. And then you can get the PDF of this book. It's amazing. It's really beautiful. It has the neatest things in there. And I was just looking at it again, and I went, oh, my gosh. Yes, it can clean like teapots and pots and pans and stuff. I forgot that you can do that. And, you know, I drink a lot of tea, so it does get stained. And I just wasn't even thinking you could just put a few grains of rice in there and shake her up with some soap and boom, done. No hard work of scrubbing.
Absolutely.
But so, because I want to make sure that we get all this in, that I am just so amazed that there's like from everything from offering a habitat to so many birds to really being a part of the whole water thing. Now, rice really does, it does suck up a lot of water. So water quality is important in the making of rice, the growing of rice. What do you guys do, and how do you get your water and make sure it's all clean and good? And what parts of associations are you to do that?
Sure, Lisa. there's a couple of things to remember about rice. So one is that rice grows particularly well in soil that is heavy clay soil that is not considered very good soil for a lot of other things.
Oh.
In fact, I would say there are a couple hundred thousand acres of ground growing rice in California that wouldn't be suitable for anything else. Heavy clay soils are the kind of soil that you can put water out there and it just sits. It doesn't go down like you think of on, say, sandy soil, if that makes sense. The second thing is that there is so much water in Northern California. A little fact is that the Sacramento Valley, which is Northern California, has the Sacramento River. And you can win a bet if you ask which river has a larger annual flow, the Colorado River or the Sacramento River. It's the Sacramento River.
Wow, okay.
So we have a larger annual flow of water in the Sacramento River in Northern California than the Colorado River has. And so the great thing about when we use water for rice production, we divert it from the river and we spread it out in these fields. Very little of it does percolate, but when it does, it's recharging our aquifers, and we think that's a pretty important part of groundwater recharge.
Okay.
When the water is spread out growing the rice, it's providing that amazing habitat that we talked about earlier for, you know, hundreds of species of birds and mammals and reptiles. Here's the really, I think, interesting part is that it moves from field to field to field. So when we talk about how many liters or gallons of water it takes to grow a serving of rice, you know, that's sort of true. It's just that water is used again and again. That same quantity of water is used over and over and over again. And at the bottom of all of those rice terraces, it returns back to the river. What hasn't dissipated into the recharging the groundwater, 80% of it will return back to the river.
Wow, this is like one of the best. This really is the best crop. I'm freaking out.
So we're not so much using the water as we're sort of borrowing it for a while we borrow it out of the river to flood the field, and it just runs back off and back into the river.
Wait, right, when your family then first, back in, you know, 1850s, they just kind of picked their land that the best was suited and looked for the clayish kind of thing and how far from the river and can we access it? Like, did they divert it? Did they actually have to build it and do stuff to do that?
They sure did. My great grandfather and great great grandfather were part of the group that founded the irrigation companies the early part of the 1900s, and so we've stayed very active ever since as a family, and as many farmers in California do, to make sure that the world understands that, you know, food, it takes water to grow food. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can really feel good about eating California rice because you think it's one of the most ecologically friendly and positive crops that is available for you in your supermarket.
This is fascinating, and I love that about what you said about recharging. And as water flows, I mean, there it does. It creates these like negative ions as the rolling and the rapids and just the movement of it. It does get literally recharged, and that's offering the plants and the food that, in your position of where you are with running, you know, the company and then talking about this and getting the book out, what are the important associations, things that you are involved with, and how is that helping everything?
You know, we certainly work in our industry with the USA Rice Federation and the U.S. Rice Millers. We work with the Whole Grains Council, which we think is an incredibly important advocate for the value of whole grains, the California Rice Commission. Those are all organizations that we feel are important uses of our time further the message and to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Well, okay, here's a weird question. Rice gone bad? What are the things that we should be making sure that we are not supporting, or what could go wrong with the rice? Like, why, I'm trying to think because it sounds like a perfect setup, right? I'm thinking of the perfect water system, and the perfect easy crop. So what could go bad that we would want to be concerned about?
You know, one of the reasons that I said earlier they discovered over the centuries that you should mill rice is because they could cook it more quickly. The mm-hmm. other reason that they learned to mill rice is that bran is very healthy for you, but it has a lot of oil, as I said, and mm-hmm. the oil will go bad. It can go rancid. And so while brown rice is a great product, you want to consume it, I would think, within 4 or 5 months. I think in 6 months, brown rice has started to turn rancid. And, you know, you'd actually probably smell it. It would just smell a little off. So, you know, you think, oh, I've got a bag of rice somebody gave me 5 years ago.
Yes.
You throw it away and yep. you should go buy a new bag of rice because, as you said yourself a little while ago, it's affordable.
Yes, yes. You know, that's so interesting because you're right. You wouldn't think about it. You think, oh, it's a dry good. You know, I've put it away in my Tupperware and it's been away, or it's stored in the – oh, should we store brown rice more in the fridge once, like, even if it's dry and sealed?
There's no need to store it in the fridge.
Okay. Okay, so it's not that volatile. Okay. And
not at all.
So, and that's a good thing to think about too, is like buying just a smaller amount at a time, so you keep rotating and going through it. So it's not in that cupboard for 5 years, because you're right. I think my dad would probably go, oh no, he's had it. It's still good.
Yeah. No. You want to turn brown rice every 4 to 6 months, and you know, white rice probably every year.
Okay. Oh, that's helpful. Okay. Actually, here's a fun one too, because you could show people if this is a myth or no myth. We used to throw rice at the bride and groom as they left the church, and people got very upset about this, thinking, no, we can't do that. The birds will eat it and bloat and blow up and swell and all that kind of stuff. So what is this? Is this myth or fact?
That is what I would call the original example of fake news.
Oh.
Let me tell you, if eating rice kills birds, don't tell 280 species of birds living in our rice field.
That was
a specific campaign by the insurance industry. They realized that people were slipping and falling on rice that was thrown at weddings.
Oh.
And guess what? Being the black-eyed guy that says, no, we got to get rid of rice at weddings, didn't sound like good business for the insurance people. So they just turned it around and said it kills birds. That tradition died overnight.
They made it an animal right.
All the rice you want at the bride and groom. Watch where you're walking afterwards, lest you slip and turn your ankle.
Right. Yes. Oh, see, that is so. And I totally thought that. You know, your mom tells you that, and then off you go and stuff like that. And what would you want to? Because we still have our 6 minutes, but with the book coming out, what is your goal with the book? What is the team's goal that, you know, help pull us together? What would they like to see done because of the book coming out?
As we go around the world, so many people have these very great questions. You know, what's the difference between brown rice and white rice? Why is it? And so many of them that you've asked, Lisa, that I think we decided it was time to help have exactly this, a rice conversation, and just share with people the general knowledge of how terrific the product is. And we hope, we'd love to see the per capita consumption in America go up every year for the next 10 years or beyond.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I guess a lot of people, too, when they get that, it's carbohydrate, and everybody goes, okay, that's a starch. It's a carbohydrate. I'm going to get fat. Well, it's all about portion, people, too. We need to, you know, you'd only need so much energy, calories to do whatever your lifestyle is, you know, allowing you to do. But like rice is just loaded with minerals. And I want to share that with people. And I don't know if you're able to rhyme them off. I can rhyme off a few, you know, like your magnesium and calcium and zinc. And I love zinc. I think zinc's a very important mineral that we all should definitely have more of. Is that something you think about all the time, is like how much, like all the nutrients in it? Or are you just thinking it's tasty and it's easy to eat?
But all of the above, you know, it's what they call a complex carbohydrate, it's a natural carbohydrate. And then, you know, when you have brown rice as a whole grain, and then when we sprout rice, it changes the entire profile. There are a number of studies in Japan where diabetics have had terrific success introducing sprouted brown rice into their diet. And so I would really encourage anybody who has a diabetic component to their planning, meal planning, should look at what they've learned in Japan from the use of sprouted brown rice. It's a miracle that's brought carbohydrates back into those diets with a lot of success.
Yes, I love sprouting myself. Do you sprout at your home?
We are the commercial sprouting facility in the United States.
Oh!
So we create, sprouting is not difficult. If it was, life would end. And kindergartners sprout seeds and milk cartons every day around the world. But sprouting on a commercial basis, where you get a consistent product that you'd want to see in a bag or buy at a store or get it whole grains, that's really a challenge that we've, I think, mastered fairly well. And so we have a sprouted rice product offering that we're working with a number of ingredient companies now who recognize the value of making the nutrients in rice more bioavailable.
Right. Yeah. I can't talk about sprouting enough. And it's just right from even the soaking. If you're not going to sprout it, people, soaking is even helpful, as we've been talking about. And if I could, I'm just going to read a few of the recipes, just the titles that you're going to get in this book when you go and download it or purchase it, because, like, oh my gosh, I just want to eat rice every day right now for about a month so I can get them all in. It's something I would never have thought about. Here you go. Here's the brand name, the California Blonde and Turkey Lettuce Wraps. So you're putting rice in a lettuce wrap. That's so smart. I don't think I would have thought about that one. I like that.
Absolutely.
And this one's going to be one of my favorites because it's Thai coconut rice and mangoes. And when I love Thai food, and so when I do go, I always get coconut rice, and then I'll dip it in my soup. You know what I mean? So it's just like a saucy rice, and it's so tasty. Oh, my gosh. And what have you got here? Mongolian-style grilled cowboy steaks with grilled baby bok choy and California blondes. That is just, oh, my God. I'm looking at the little pictures, and I'm getting so hungry. And I had bok choy for breakfast this morning. So perfect.
Absolutely. All of those things are great. I mean, you just keep it. It's where we say it's where dinner starts.
You know,
the meal starts here,
right? Oh, yes. You know what? Oh my gosh, I think I'm going to start posting pictures of my rice dishes for the next week and what I'm doing. And also, too, something that's so common that we hear, you know, Mexico and all that, is rice and beans. All countries do something. You know,
you can make a wonderful risotto with California blonde. You can put it in your, as you said, put it in your lettuce wraps instead of potatoes.
Yeah,
you can use it in your stuffing for your turkey instead of bread cubes. Use rice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
just endless, and you know. So I'm so glad that we've been able to have a rice conversation. We'll do our last minute invitation for people. Wherever you'd like to send them to, the best place that they can get more information or get the book or buy the rice and all that. Where can they go for those things?
You know, our website, I think, is terrific and informative, legrandfamilyfoods.com. And the product is, I think, probably most readily available to most people on Amazon.
Okay.
As Planet Rice. And we have the sprouted brown rice and the California blonde.
That's perfect. Well, I want to say thank you for helping me make my menu planning for the rest of the week really easy. And I just have the pleasurable conversation with you, and it's really knowing that every time I do eat this kind of rice, I know I'm helping wildlife and birds. So you've really, like, educated me, and so I really want to say thank you and for sharing this hour with me as well, Ken.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
There you go. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. And if you guys are having a rice dish, take a picture, post it on my Facebook page, and we will just enjoy and continue eating healthily and loving our food. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye, Ken. Bye.